plan for your life? Do you know where you want to go? Are you looking to be happier, healthier, and wealthier while having more fun every day? Meet our empowerment architect and goddess gardener, Cynthia Bryan, as she engages in energetic exchanges with successperts, bringing you research, innovations, strategies, and techniques to strengthen your life, business, and personal spaces. Be inspired, motivated, encouraged, and empowered. Lend us your ears right here on Star Style. Be the star you are. The party starts now.
Well, hello, hello, Power Partners. Welcome to Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We are coming to you live on the Voice America Network, and this is the Empowerment Channel. My name is Cynthia Bryan, and I am your host for the day. We have a really wonderful show for you coming up in segment two. It's a subject that everybody is always interested in, and it's relationships. I have a best-selling author, Kelly Miller, coming on with her newest book, Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. It's just a terrific book, really simple, straightforward, great advice that I know that you'll be able to use. In segment three, most of us have smartphones, or I have iPhones, and I prefer that. But what do you do if you drop it in the toilet or it gets wet? Well, Apple just released the best ways to rescue your wet phones, and it is not in a bowl of rice, which we have always thought it. So you'll have to stay tuned to find out how to save your phones, whether it is an Android or an iPhone, from, you know, the inclement weather and those mishaps that we have. The Miracle Moment is brought to you by Be the Star You Are. We want to thank all our donors, volunteers, supporters, general public, because Be the Star You Are has just been named one of the very first nonprofits of 2024 to win the award called a top nonprofit from GuideStar and Great Nonprofits. You can see it at BeTheStarYouAre.org. And this is from William Wordsworth. The best portion of a good life is unremembered acts of kindness and love. Isn't that the truth? Kindness and love. I think if we can just do that, we're going to be okay. And we will be okay forever, even though we're going to have some bad days. So just remember that, to have a lot of kindness and love in your life. Well, in this segment, I wanted to talk about boundaries at work. What are you willing to tolerate? Do you know how to set boundaries? Are you just a pleaser and, you know, you bottle it up? Because setting boundaries can be challenging, but with practice, you will feel empowered to be who you want to be and to be your best self. Because it is really hard to set boundaries. There's no two ways about it. You know, you want to know whether when you're given a new assignment, even though it might be frustrating, do you just smile and accept it? When you have a colleague that is being rude or, you know, dismissive, do you say something or do you let it go? Your best career move and the most important thing for your mental health is to establish your expectations and your boundaries for what you will and will not tolerate at work. It is key to increasing your productivity and, of course, your well-being, because boundaries are limits. What boundaries are, it's like a personal rule that we decide, nobody else decides that for you, that is going to protect your person, your time, your energy, and your mental health so that you can perform the best. Now, we all want to be successful at work. We all want to have clarity. We all want to be liked, or most of us want to be liked at work. But sometimes work situations can be tricky. You might have a difficult boss. You might have difficult colleagues. There might be jealousy in the office or work situation, and you don't want to put yourself up for issues. So if before you start your job, or even if you're in a job now, if you don't want to get burned out and you want to do the best you can to maintain where you are and to stay in this job, the best thing you can do is write a list of what you will and will not accept at work. Work in America survey found that 19% of employees say that workplace is very, very stressful, and sometimes it's very toxic. And many people believe that their mental health is adversely affected at work. And that was actually a poll of about 22%, where workers described they felt emotionally exhausted, they felt ineffective, they didn't feel appreciated, they were unmotivated, they just really felt that their colleagues were irritable, that it made them feel irritable, and that going to work was just plain not fun. So if that describes you in any way, we really need to honor ourselves and, again, put these boundaries to use. Now, only 40% reported that the time off was respected, and 35% said that their workplace culture encouraged breaks and some, you know, mental health time, and 29% noted that their managers encouraged employees to take care of themselves. So if you don't have that kind of situation, you want to ask for it. And it's actually better if you can do it even before you start the job. I mean, right now people are changing jobs very often, and there are a lot of jobs out there. So if you put this down in writing and then you practice it, you know, practice saying it out loud, practice it with a partner, practice it with a friend, whatever, because with that, you, the boundaries that you really want to establish, you will be able to easily voice them. So here are a few tips to get you going. If you're in a job where you are getting constant texts, phone calls, emails at all hours of the day and night, it might be time to put a stop to that, because unless you are on some 24-hour, you know, 7-day-a-week salary, and it's a high salary base, that line between work and home has become very, very blurred, and this is not good for you, because if you are constantly being interrupted by a boss or a manager, you are not going to feel committed to your outside relationships, and it's very important that you let them know some boundaries. So you might have to have a meeting and say something like this, is that I am here with you from X amount of time to X amount of time, but once I leave the building, I am with my friends and family, and I will check my email or I'll check a text once, you know, and give a time limit at 8 p.m., but other than that, I cannot be bothered unless it is an absolute emergency. That is setting a boundary. Another thing is, if your time off is interrupted, you probably prefer not to take your boss on vacation with you. Most likely, you're not going to take your colleagues either. But if you go on vacation and you're constantly, again, being interrupted, you're really not on vacation. You are still on the clock. So that goes hand in hand with the first tip I gave you. And let your boss, manager, colleagues know that you will get everything done before you leave on your vacation. And then while you are gone, unless it is an absolute life and death emergency, you are not going to respond. And if you feel guilty about that, you just have to keep saying to yourself that you deserve to have a break, that you deserve to have family time, private time, vacation time. You have to respect yourself enough to say no to some of those things. I know that I have a friend who hadn't taken a vacation in, 3 years, and literally was had just arrived at a tropical paradise for a week's vacation when the boss called and said, get back here right away, we're doing blah, blah, blah. And she did decide to go, but the one thing she did say is, you got to buy me first class tickets and you have to pay for another vacation. And so she negotiated before she went back. Although I think if it was me, I would not have gone back. But in any case, at least she did a negotiation. So another thing is if your boss or manager just keeps piling on the work, make sure that that you are being recognized and that they appreciate your skills and that it is a reasonable workload. Because if you have too much going on, you might just burn out. And if you think that your workload is getting too high, that's the time to set a boundary, ask for another meeting, and ask if you can talk about it and how to prioritize, because you may want to say no to several things that are coming down the pike so that you can finish the projects to the best of your ability that you are already on. Now, what do you do when you have coworkers that just don't stop talking, that you might be in an open office, or maybe you do have, you know, your own place, but somebody stops by and they just are either gossiping or nonstop talking. Again, you have to put your foot down. You have to interrupt them and communicate that you appreciate their friendship and you're interested in what they say, but right now you have a project to fill and that I physically cannot be talking with you at this moment. So let's plan a time and, you know, make another alternative. In other words, set that boundary. You might even have, if you have a door to your office, put a note on the door that says, please do not enter. I'm, you know, extremely busy at this time, or on a conference call or whatever it is. Also, if your manager doesn't give you feedback, but you need feedback, you definitely want to talk to him or her about that, because you want to be successful. And the best thing that you could do is to say that I would really love some feedback on my work, negative, you know, or positive. But in order for me to improve, I need to know what you're thinking and how I can make it better. Now, you don't want criticism all the time. There are bosses out there that nothing's ever going to please them. But if you let them know that you appreciate all constructive feedback, so that you can keep going and doing things well, things should actually work out pretty well. But the most important thing for you is to always, always, always set boundaries for what you are going to accept at work and what you will not accept at work. So that's the show. That's this segment. When we come back from break, Kelly Miller will be with us with Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. You're listening to Cynthia Bryan. This is Star Style. Be the star you are. Stay with me because this is going to be a fantastic segment.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Get autographed copies of New York Times bestselling author Cynthia Bryan's books at www.starstyleradio.com. Get inspired and motivated to be your best self with Be the Star You Are, 99 gifts, and Be the Star You Are for teens. Buy cases at a deep discount to give away as gifts and premiums. Visit www.starstyleradio.com or call 925-377-STAR, 925-377-STAR, 925-377-STAR.
Are you seeking a dynamo speaker for your meeting, conference, or organization? Internationally recognized keynote speaker and New York Times bestselling author and lifestyle coach, Cynthia Bryan, will bring her energetic expertise, passionate professionalism, and ebullient personality to your event. Hailed as an expert in lifestyle, women's issues, self-help, personal balance, leadership, media, gardening, and interior design topics, Cynthia Bryan is a popular empowerment keynote speaker around the world, lecturing to audiences of 100 to 5,000. For rates and bookings, call 925-377-STAR, 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 and visit www.cynthiabryan.com. When you want the best, book Cynthia Bryan, www.cynthiabryan.com. Are you a teenager with lots to say, but no one to talk to? Let your creativity explode and your voice be heard on the radio program Express Yourself, a show by teens, for teens, and about teens. No topic is off limits as you connect with teens with attitude. Check out Express Yourself on the Voice America Kids channel and join our global community where teens talk and the world listens. www.btsya.com. You can express yourself. Follow Voice America at facebook.com/Voice America for juicy updates from your favorite radio shows and podcasts.
It's Power Time on Star Style. Be the star you are with your passion, purpose, and possibility producer, Cynthia Bryan. Now, back to the Power Party. This business
of showbiz. Well, we are having a party, and I'm so glad that you stayed to participate and dance with us, because I have a really fabulous guest with a fabulous book. Her name is Kelly Miller, and her newest book is called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. She is a psychotherapist working with individuals, couples, families, and she specializes in relationships. She's also definitely a media pro because she's been the host of several things, not only on TV, but on radio. But I really love this book, and I really feel that it's going to bring you lots and lots of information, because all of us want to be loved and have a relationship, even if it's just with ourselves. Kelly, welcome to Star Style. Be the star you are.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, well, I'm really excited. I read your book cover to cover. I have it all marked up. And you know what I wanted to bring out that I liked about it the most is how common sense it is. Everything that you say in Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues, are things that we might know, but the way you have described different clients, you know, and stories, and then put it together, you made it really digestible and really, really easy for us to realize, hey, relationships are complicated and we're not alone if we are struggling. And so there is help out there. And it seems that one of your goals with this is that, although therapy is wonderful, not everyone will go to therapy and not everyone can afford therapy. So your book is kind of just a therapist on our book stand, right?
Thank you so much. Yes.
I like that.
That's exactly it. I mean, obviously we're all busy, and I was seeing all these couples in crisis, and I'm thinking, okay, this is great. I can help them in office, but what about the couples outside of the office, or they don't have, you know, 6 months to help their relationship and they just need the quick and easy. And, you know, not to simplify it, but there are just certain things that do take some common sense, but work, and we can put it in a very digestible, I like that word that you used, book, and make it easy for people to get help.
Yeah. And you did. And that's what you did here. And we're going to start at the beginning and then try to work. Well, obviously, we can't get through the whole book, but we're going to try to get through as many things as possible. One of the things that you start off with is talking about how, you know, sometimes we're just constantly arguing. I mean, the honeymoon phase is over. We can't get along. And you suggest timeouts, just like we give our kids timeouts. Giving each other a timeout. So let's discuss that. Tell us what the rules are and why this is so effective.
Yeah. So it is funny because people think of their kids, but I don't want people to think of it as a punitive thing. It's actually a restorative way for everybody to take a little bit of a breather. So if we can kind of reframe it that way, I think it's a little bit easier. And yeah, I mean, we're all going to get heated. We're all going to get overwhelmed. And so that break is going to be essential, because then both partners are going to be receptive when they're calm, and it's a win-win. And the rules are very simple. I want couples to establish a length of time for their timeouts before they get into an argument. So this is when everything's good between the couple. It's like, hey, you know, obviously we're going to get heated at times. Let's talk about our timeouts and what we think is appropriate. You know, typically I say about a few hours for timeouts. And then during those timeouts, I want whatever works for you to kind of get back to center. For some, it's listening to music, taking a walk. It's, you know, the dull coloring books, whatever it is to just for you to kind of get centered. And then the person who called the timeout is then in charge of reconvening it. And so when the 2 hours are up, they come back to their partner. Okay, I'm ready, or let's reconnect. And then you can start over. And I am a proponent. It doesn't matter how many timeouts you need to take. If you start to get heated, just take that breather.
Take another one. Right.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I thought this is a really good way, because it doesn't matter. We're all different. We're all humans in training. And so definitely we're all going to get heated and we're not going to agree on everything. So taking a time out to just cool down and to journal or write or sing or just, you know, take a nap, whatever it is we have to do, is going to really help us. So I like that. I really like that time out. And I'm going to jump to issue 4, because you said there's about 15 things that come up all the time with all of your clients. And so this one is issue 4, is we don't have sex anymore. And the one thing that I wanted to get out that you definitely write about is that there's no right and wrong or no certain amount that you're supposed to be having. But why is it that people always feel like that?
Right, exactly. You're so right. I think because it's so valued, and I think people automatically assume, okay, we're not having sex this amount of time, so therefore we're not doing well as a couple. And so, yeah, I want to dispel that. It's really what works for you as a couple. And so I know couples who have sex 3 times a year and they're happy. And I know couples who have sex, you know, multiple times a week and they're happy. And so it really just works. It's whatever works within the couple. But
and I know couples that haven't had sex in a while, a long time, exactly. And they're still happy, right?
And then it can be with the reverse too, right? Where that's where I come in. If one person is dissatisfied with the frequency, so that's when I was like, okay, let's look at that. Now, both people are content, great. But if one partner isn't, let's take a look at that. And that's why I wrote that chapter.
Okay, so what would be, since that we're talking about doing this on our own and not having to go in to see a therapist, what would be a first step for a couple to initiate the conversation and say, I just feel like, you know, I'm not getting touched enough, or I'm not getting what I need. Let's talk about it. How do you initiate that conversation? It's a tricky one.
It's very tough and it's so uncomfortable. And so what I like to say is, I'm always of the sort with conversations, I love the sandwich method, where we start with the great, and you can start, what's one thing that you love about your relationship? You know, the one thing that I love about our relationship is how well we travel together. And it's so wonderful to take vacations with you. Then you get into the meat of the conversation. One thing that I think we can improve upon is our sex life. And, you know, would you be open to having a conversation? And then ending again with the good. You know, I feel so connected to you in every other area. And I know that we can also be connected even better in this area. Something like that, where we kind of set it up really nicely, could be helpful.
Well, it's always good, I think, to start with the positive, you know, and to give compliments, I mean, accurate compliments where they are due, and then to go and figure out the rest. And then, of course, you talk about how to create the environment so that it is romantic, or, you know, whatever's going to work for you.
Right.
I'm jumping all around here. So you feel free, if I'm jumping too much, Kelly, you tell me.
And I'm with you.
Okay. Well, for people who are just tuning in, I'm talking to Kelly Miller. She just wrote a book called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. And it's just really, really so easy to read and easy to implement. But one thing that caught me too that I have underlined is you're talking about the continuum of long-term relationships. And you said, I love this line, sometimes we need to zoom out in order to zoom in. in. So you're talking about the zigzagging, and you were talking about timelines. If you looked at something over, you know, over 50 years of a relationship and how it differs from maybe, you know, the first few. So tell us how we can zoom out to zoom in. It's such a great line.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. If you think about it, if you're in a long-term relationship, let's just say it's, you know, on a great life, you're, you know, 50, 60 years in. And so if you look at that path over time, you met, let's just say in your 20s, and then you're going to live until your 80s, you know, if you imagine a graph, there's going to be some up and downs. You might get into an argument. You might not talk for a little bit, but typically, if you're in a healthy, normal relationship, it's going to either stay the same or even hopefully progress. So the problem is we get into these ruts or arguments and it feels really big. That downturn or that zag just feels enormous. And so I said zoom out because I think as a couple, we need to just pull back and sort of look at the whole picture and say, oh, okay, yeah, this is just a downturn in all of this. And hey, let me think back to the last time we got into an argument. We got through it and we were okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's that reminder that, right, this isn't, it feels like a big deal, but it's really not in the scheme of this long-term relationship.
And so often when we're in the midst of an argument or somebody has hurt us in some way, we do feel like it's the end. We feel like, how did I get here in the first place? What did I see in this person? You know, why did I get together with them? Or did I marry them or you live with them? Whatever it is. You gave a wonderful example of writing a love letter. And I thought this was just beautiful because if we're having an issue and you write a letter and you write down all the things that you remember that you really loved about that person, somehow that love comes rolling back because, you know, memories are powerful. And so you're not only letting the person know how you feel and then maybe what you need work on, but I think you're also informing yourself that I really did fall in love with this person and I still really do love this person. You know, we just have to work on some things.
That's exactly right. It's so easy to get caught up in what's not working and kind of what you said, like questioning. But we do, we have to go back and remind ourselves, oh yeah, I love the way that they smiled at me and I loved how we first met and all of those great memories, because we do, we sort of like throw those away of like, but damn it, if he just would pick up his socks, you know, we can kind of like, you know, focus on that. But we need to remember all the beautiful things that existed before all this. And so, I love the idea of writing a love letter to our partner, because you're right. It serves two purposes. It helps the relationship and it helps us remember, oh yeah, this is a really great person and I do love this person.
You know, I know that for me personally, every time that my husband gives me a card and he, not just a card that you bought, but he writes what he, why he loves me, you know, and why he's inspired and why he's proud. I mean, my heart just soars. And so, and the interesting thing about that in my experience is that when someone does it for you, you can't wait to do it back for them. So it's almost like we are creating our happy future by being generous with our positive thoughts and our positive words that we are actually putting in writing.
Yes. And I say the same thing in Love Hacks. Positive behavior begets positive behavior.
Yes.
Right. So if we can do it, our partners feel good and then they do it back to us. And it almost might be unconscious. So we need to be that change agent to start it. But ultimately, it's a win-win all around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what I think you're saying, you know, if you really want love, you give love.
Exactly.
And so do you think it is more challenging these days to be in a relationship because of the effects of social media, the internet? You know, there's just so much negative media. I mean, this is why we do Be the Star You Are, because we want to bring positivity, you know, and uplifting ideas and people to the airwaves so people can actually be the stars of their own lives. But what is your feeling about what's happening in the world? Because we're all so connected, but we're all so disconnected.
Yes, I do think it's harder. I think that we aren't giving our partners or friends or whomever that same undivided attention that we used to. And you know, it's not our fault. It's just we have this thing in our pocket that's dinging and beeping and, okay, let me check my email. And so much is happening. And so I'm a big proponent of like going on some social media fast for a little bit, especially mm-hmm. if you're on a date with your partner. Just put your phone away for a few hours and say, I'm going to just focus on my partner right now. And, you know, for those who have kids or who really worry, you know, you can just put it on do not disturb and make it necessary that if you need a call from your children or the babysitter or something, you can allow that call to come through. And then that you can really focus on your partner and not worry about everything else. But I think
you actually start your book talking about that, you know, talking about how some couples don't even realize that they're not spending any time with each other because they're just on social media or on their phones or on their tablets or whatever. Exactly. So sometimes it's probably unconscious so often for us.
I think we've developed a really nice way that whenever we're uncomfortable, okay, I'm just going to look at my phone, and we're not really seeing those feelings anymore. It's like, okay, I'm bored. I'm going to look at my phone. And I worry because we're not developing that same resilience that we used to have where it was like, okay, this is not great to feel bored, but oh my God, did I think of a really cool idea? So I think we're very quick to immediately run to that. And worry a little bit about that. So I am proposing that people get off the phones a little less. I'm, you know, just a little bit less.
I agree with you. And I feel that, you know, like, I mean, we have kind of a rule, a non-spoken rule, but when it starts to be broken, we immediately say it. And that is no phones, no tablets, no computers, at the table.
Yes.
So we can have a discussion. And the same thing when we go out, your phones are turned off or they're on, what is it?
The silent.
Yeah, exactly. They're on silent. Just like you said, if there's an emergency, somebody can get you, but they're on silent. And it's interesting how productive and how fun those times are because you're not interrupted. And whenever you go out with somebody else who's constantly on their phone, it's really obvious you don't want to even be with them.
They have done studies, to show that people have been on dates and even just having their phone out, they're not even using it, the other person doesn't feel as attended to.
Yes, because we all have that desire to be appreciated, right? We all want to be appreciated and we all want to feel like we're effective and effective. But if your phone is always there, how can you be a good listener or a good partner? You know, it's like you're always anticipating, oh, is it better on the phone? Is it better on social media?
Yes.
So I know we're kind of doing that at exhaustion, but I'm a big proponent like you. I really think that's worth a major timeout is to put our devices down and concentrate on the person that we are with. Something else that you were talking about in your book, you have a chapter, I do so many more chores. And I know that is a big one in relationships and how you have to become teammates. And I know, again, on a personal basis, it really wasn't until COVID hit and there was lockdown that and that my husband couldn't go to work and I had to be home that he saw how much I was doing, you know, how much I had to juggle work and home and family and everything, right? All the stuff. And he started participating more. And after all these years, not realizing that I was carrying a huge load. So for me, COVID was great because
exactly changed things.
Yeah, it changed things. So how can we get our teammates, to realize that, you know, we are partners. We need to, we can take turns, but, you know, everybody needs to vacuum or we need to dust or we need to do the dishes or share with cooking or shopping or whatever it is. Because usually, I mean, the past has been that the female is usually these days working as many, if not as, you know, or more hours as the men outside the home and then comes home and has to deal with the home and children and the rest of the family, et cetera. And it's very exhausting and it can be damaging to relationships.
100%. one thing I did was, because this is so common, on my website, which is Kelly Miller, Kelly with an I, Miller Therapy, I have a chore chart that you can download, because I think it's exactly what you said. I just think people don't realize either how much they're doing or how much their partner's doing. And so if we can kind of come together and like, oh yeah, you know, I'm always doing the dishes, and can we do this a little bit more equal? And so I'm a big proponent of sort of looking at this. Yes, this is a romantic relationship, but it's also a partnership. And that includes figuring out how things are going to work best. And if we can establish chores that feel right for both people, and one week the partners do X, Y, and Z, and the next week the other partner does that. And so we can figure out logistically, and that can help. And that, so it's kind of like, it's a lot in the beginning, but then it's going to relieve so much of that resentment over time. So if we can establish that in the beginning, it's going to create less resentment over time.
And also, I think besides the resentment, I do think that it empowers you to feel more committed in the relationship. You feel like you are participating more. I think that if when you both work on something together, there's a joy to it, as opposed to if I just am so exhausted because I've been, you know, working 80-hour weeks and then having another 80 hours or whatever of all these other chores, there's just something really nice about working together on it. Well, I'm still jumping around, but another issue that partnerships are constantly maybe arguing about are financials. Oh, yes. And you have a great budget, a budget chart in your book. And the book is Love Hacks, the author Kelly Miller, Kelly with an I, because we do spend money differently. And it really does depend on how we probably grew up and maybe how our parents spent money. So is there a first step to calculating how we're going to divide our incomes, our savings, and our expenses?
Yeah. So I created an acronym called CLOSER, which I think will help couples a lot. C is for communicate. I want you to communicate about your short-term, long-term goals. L is listing those goals. So write them down. You may be closer than you think. O is for organizing the priorities. What's most important to you? Is it putting a down payment on a house? Is it taking a vacation? S is setting specific goals. So let's talk about, okay, we're going to save $100 every month. E is for envisioning a plan. And R is for revisiting those goals. And so that just is kind of like a basic framework that I think can help couples, where you really sit down and you talk about it. It doesn't have to be this really intense, you know, punishing conversation, but it can just be like, hey, let's see where we're aligned here. And that should be a good first starting point.
I really like that you have the CLOSER, communication, so that you can really communicate what your goals are and what you need to do. But what about also like having your money, her money, however you're with it? In other words, you each have your own money and then you have a general pot. How does that work for some of your clients?
Yes. So I think a lot of my clients do that. And again, I think, you know, it's so couple specific, but, you know, it's true. Some of us have hangups around money, or we have some money fears. So again, if that works for the couple, fantastic. Otherwise, you know, some couples really like to feel like, okay, we're a unit here. Let's pool everything together. And so I think there's no right or wrong. It's really what you feel most comfortable with. And yeah. And then, you know, I put in there options for a budget for individual and for the couple. So there's kind of all different ways we can work it here so that you feel cohesive and feel comfortable with finances.
Yeah. And you, what I also like is you have a lot of questions and answers of, you know, ways to do things. So, because money is really emotional. I mean, it's something that it can really tear you apart. Or if you're really good with it, you know, it can bring you together. Now, another issue, number 10, and this is such a big one. My partner or I have an addiction. And I mean, this is really, it's a sad thing to have to go through. And I've seen many couples with it where one of the people either have an alcohol problem or maybe a drug problem or a gambling problem. But there is help out there. And I think that's the thing that we need to know, is that there is help. But is that, if you have a substance abuse or any kind of, you know, addiction. Is that going to be something that is going to be better to actually see a therapist at that point?
Absolutely. Yes. So I did say that in Love Hacks that for sure, because some of these are fatal, these addictions. So absolutely the partner who has the addiction should absolutely seek help. And so if after they've sought help, you know, that's what I'm talking about of, and I want the partner of the partner who has the addiction to seek help as well, because it is
right. That's what you talk about. You say that it's important that you both seek help, but what if the partner of the person who has the addiction is so frustrated that they just, because I think that happens. It's like, oh, I can't do one more thing. So how can you cancel that? How can they get help? You know, how can you stay together?
Right. So I think it's a lot about education, where I think that addiction isn't really totally understood. And so if we can educate the partner of the addicted partner and understanding what addiction looks like, how, you know, it's a lot of people feel like it's genetic, it could be a family disease. So there's all different sources. And I think that can create a little bit more understanding and compassion. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but it's just more understanding of, okay, so my partner doesn't really want to do this. He or she just, you know, feels the need to do it or is stuck in this cycle and, you know, or was modeled this behavior. You know, there's all sorts of variables, but I think that education piece is key.
And again, just if you are suffering from an addiction, really get some help, because there is help out there. I'm going to just deal with one because I know we're running out of time, but things are different since we had kids. Mm-hmm. And that one is such a biggie, because so many couples, you know, they love their kids, obviously, but now there's not a lot of time, because you used to have time for each other, or maybe you didn't even have a lot of time for each other before, but now you have kids and they have to take a priority. So give us your advice on keeping the relationship, you know, together and happy, as well as dividing up the responsibilities with the kids and keeping the kids happy.
Yes. So my first goal was just to normalize it, because I think a lot of people, you know, it's surprising. It's like, oh my God, things feel different. And, you know, by definition, if you're adding another person into this partnership, the dynamic is going to shift. So that's the first piece, is just normalizing. Everybody feels this way. All couples do. Even like you said, you love your kids, you love your partner, but it's going to be different. So I think it's super important that the couple go back to them and also create date nights and cement those in as best you can, and try to get some babysitters or family or, you know, some sort of help, so that you can continue your relationship, because you are the foundation for this family. Mm-hmm. So it's so important. And yeah, and experience a lot of the things that you did while you were dating with your children too. So if you loved going to, you know, gardens and things, great, take your kids on those adventures. You know, if you love theme parks, great, take your kids there. So it's like, I think there's ways that you can incorporate both.
And, you know, the people that I see that are happiest, they are doing all of those things. Well, Kelly, again, I really just think this is such a very important book. The name of the book is Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. The author is Kelly Miller, K-E-L-L-I. Her website, KellyMillerTherapy.com, K-E-L-L-I, MillerTherapy.com. Is there anything you want to say just to wrap it up?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much again for having me. But yeah, I think that the takeaway for me is that I want couples to know that they can work through things. I think we're now in a society, we're just getting things instantly, we're exiting quicker. And I think we just have to be more patient with our partners and things of that sort, because we can work through a lot of this stuff. We just have to have the patience, commitment, and dedication.
I am so happy that you wound it up like that, because relationships are worth fighting for. And, you know, like my parents always said, you know, the grass isn't greener on the other side of the street.
Yes.
And so I think you have to realize that everyone has issues. And if you found someone that you really resonate with, it's worth working on it, because it's kind of really fun growing old together.
So true.
Thank you, Kelly, for being on Star Style, Be the Star You Are. Again, please check out her website, KellyMillerTherapy.com. You're listening to Cynthia Bryan. This is Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We'll have a business fight, and then we have more to come. Thanks for being with me.
Follow Voice America at facebook.com/Voice America for juicy updates from your favorite radio shows and podcasts.
Business Bites. Here's Cynthia Bryan.
Are you becoming a born leader? Leadership is earned. It is not something you were born with, or it is not a title that comes with a job. Leadership doesn't just happen. You really have to learn it. To become a leader, you must develop essential traits. A few of the characteristics of leaders include uncompromising integrity and a desire to always do the right thing. Energy and enthusiasm, as well as a love for the work at hand, are necessary. Leaders must be goal-oriented and have the courage to work to make those goals a reality. Leaders surround themselves with smart people and encourage the people under their care. Leaders never stop learning because they know that learning transforms to earning. Remember, you're the star of your own performance. Turn your passions into profits. I'm Cynthia Bryan with another Business Bite from Star Style. For more information, visit CynthiaBryan.com. That's Bryan with an I, .com.
Be the star you are. The star you are.
The annual cost of illiteracy to American taxpayers is over $225 billion. Help increase literacy, reduce violence, and improve positive media messages by making a tax-deductible contribution to Be the Star You Are charity. A top-rated nonprofit, Be the Star You Are promotes positive role models, produces positive radio broadcasts, and donates positive books to empower women, families, and youth. Be a power partner and join our galaxy of stars. Visit our website at BeTheStarYouAre.org to make a tax-deductible donation using PayPal or send checks to P.O. Box 376, 376, Moraga, California, 94556. BeTheStarYouAre.org. Dare to care.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
It's Power Time on Star Style. Be the star you are with your passion, purpose, and possibility producer, Cynthia Bryan. Now, back to the Power Party.
Well, thank you for staying with me. I am Cynthia Bryan. You're listening to Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We're coming to you live on the Voice America Network. This is the Empowerment Channel, and the book Love Hacks, authored by Kelly Miller, really is a great book to help you with your relationships. Well, now I just want to talk about our phones, because I have an iPhone, and I know a lot of people have iPhones or Androids or whatever, but what happens if your phone gets wet? I mean, if it happens to fall in the sink, or hopefully not in the toilet, but that does happen. What do you do? In the past, we always thought, I never had to do it, but I was always in the back of my mind, okay, if your phone gets wet, you put it in a bowl of rice. But earlier this year, Apple published new guidelines on what to do if water gets into your iPhone. And typically when phones or any electronic device get wet, a common course of action is to put them in uncooked rice. But because what they think is that the raw grains would absorb the moisture. But what Apple is saying, do not do that, because the small grains of rice could actually damage your phone. Particles could get lodged into the ports and then not be able to get them out. So what do you do? All right. First of all, unplug the cable from your phone and unplug the other end of the cable from any power adapter or accessory. And don't plug the cable in again until your iPhone and the cable are completely dry. And when you're trying to dry your iPhone, you don't want to use a hairdryer or anything like that. You should tap your iPhone gently against your hand with the connector facing down so that you remove any excess liquid. And then leave your phone in a dry area that has some airflow. Now, after at least 30 minutes, you can try charging it with a Lightning or USB-C cable or connecting an accessory. But if that alert comes up that says that you have some water has been seen, unplug it again right away. It might take 24 hours to fully dry. It might even take longer. If your phone is dried out and still isn't charging, again, unplug it. A few things not to do. Do not dry your phone using an external heat source, and don't use compressed air. And do not insert a foreign object into your phone. For example, don't put in a cotton swab or a Q-tip or a paper towel, nothing into the connector. And don't put your phone in that bag of rice because, again, those small particles might damage it. Now, if you see an alert that comes up that says that you have water, and you might have to call, if it's Apple or whatever your phone is, you may have to call them. But don't insert any foreign object into the port. And you'll just gently tap that phone against your hand with that port facing down. If the liquid detention alert appears a second time, you want to just unplug and leave your phone to fully dry for 24, 48 hours, and then try charging it again. If it still doesn't charge, unplug it again, and you just want to continue that. You might actually need to contact either your manufacturer, which might be Apple or Android, or maybe it will just clear itself out. Now, evidently, there were tests of the iPhone 6, which I used to have, and they did a drop test that showed that even after the phone was dunked underwater, and the iPhone 6 was not waterproof or any type, it wasn't, didn't have any water barriers, it still worked. And then the iPhone 11, it passed similar resistant tests. And most phones that are newer today, they actually have been made to be water resistant. But what do you really have to do if your phone is dropped? First of all, don't panic, because it really is easy to spiral into despair thinking that we have destroyed everything and we've lost everything. Again, power your phone down. That is the most crucial thing to do, and don't turn it back on until everything is dry. If you can remove the battery, a lot of them you can't, it's great to remove the battery to do this and dry the inside. But if you can't, you can't. You do not want to run an electrical charge through any wet electrical circuit, because that is going to cause problems. And that could affect your phone. It could actually damage it. Clean your wet phone. If it's gone into the toilet, you want to disinfect it. Use a Lysol or Clorox wipes, but do not spray your phone with anything. You want to use something on like a microfiber cloth. Don't put pure alcohol or spray directly on your phone or any cleaning agent, because that could cause additional damage. And then, there are cell phone water damage kits. If you have that, that might help. But if not, you're just going to leave it to air out by itself. Maybe place it on an absorbent cloth, next to a breezy window, and make sure it's leaning at an angle so the water can leak out. It's the slow way to do it, but it will work that way. And then once you power it up again, if it's still not working, then you're probably going to have to call your manufacturer or go in. And unfortunately, smartphone warranties do not cover water or liquid damage, so you're going to be up for the cost of repairs. And if you think it's too expensive, then you might want to just sell your phone, because it's probably not good for you, but lots of businesses, they accept old phones, even ones that have water damage, because there are precious minerals inside, like gold and palladium and other rare metals that they can use. It's probably worthless to you, but good for them. So don't give up hope, but don't put it in rice. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you for being such great listeners and staying tuned here to Star Style, Be the Star You Are. I am Cynthia Bryan, your personal growth coach, and I want you to know you can change your life for the better. You can make your dreams come true. As always, my aim is to encourage, inspire, inform, amuse, and motivate you. If you'd like to be in touch with the charity, Be the Star You Are, that just has been honored as the top nonprofit for 2024, please visit BeTheStarYouAre.org. To find out more about Star Style Productions or me, visit CynthiaBryan.com. Until next week, when we celebrate once again, remember that love always wins, kindness always prevails, and smile keep us happy. I'm Cynthia Bryan for Star Style. I thank you and encourage you. Be the star you are, but be your unapologetically authentic self. Have a great week, and we'll be together next week.
Be the star you are. The star you are. Be the star you are. You are.
It's been a pleasure bringing you our life-changing program, Star Style, Be the Star You Are. We have you on our radar, as it's our goal to inspire, inform, entertain, and motivate you to be the star you were born to be. For more information, visit StarStyleRadio.com. And to make a donation to the charity, go to BeTheStarYouAre.org. Ignite the flame that burns brightly within. Take charge of your life and coach yourself to success with our dynamic host and empowerment architect, Cynthia Bryan, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another serving of champagne for the spirit and a power boost to live with star style. Until we celebrate together next week, be the star you are.